Good evening again, everyone. How's that now? Is that better? I sometimes wonder why I use a microphone, because I can shout really loud. That's all the years working up in Kilcooley and screaming at people to get things done, but we have to use them, unfortunately, for the podcast. Okay, let me just pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this evening that as we turn to your living and active word, so we ask that it would do its work. It's not about me, Lord God. It's not about my words. It's about your words speaking into our lives. And we ask tonight that you would give us ears to hear what it is that you're saying to us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus because he is the living word of God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to be moving among us in the presence of your Spirit and minister to people tonight and minister to those who are watching live on Facebook or to those later in the week, Lord God, who will listen to the podcasts. May they also know your blessing in your precious name. Amen. You know, it's really weird because Keith was saying this morning when he was speaking about Jesus getting arrested again in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says this is very close to what he had said a few weeks before. And then I looked at what I'm on tonight and I've got Lazarus again. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago where I was talking about behold he stinketh. But the whole idea was in putting together this plan of talks was to look at simple, well-known verses and passages in the Bible and events in the Bible and seeing how things can be looked at from a different perspective, and in this case, seeing how Jesus makes a difference. And my title then was looking at Lazarus being raised from the dead, the power of Jesus, and showing how Jesus is the Lord of life, but he is also the Lord over death. You see this image of a grim reaper with a scythe, but the only thing he's useful for is go around and cut my back garden. There's no such a thing to worry about in that sense of a grim reaper with a scythe. Jesus is Lord of life and over death. And by his power, Jesus, as you remember, or those who don't know, Jesus could speak into the spiritual realms and call back a man who had been dead 4 days. While at the same time his body is lying in the tomb, with that same command calling him back, actually reverse the physical decomposition of Lazarus's body, which by that time his sister said was stinking. So rather than looking at the power of Jesus, I want to show how Jesus made a difference in this event. So let me put it into context for those maybe who don't know the story. Jesus has this really good friend called Lazarus. And Lazarus was ill. That's all we're told at the start. Lazarus was ill. And Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus to let him know that their brother at this point now had moved from ill to seriously ill. So he was, you know, deteriorating in his health. And when Jesus got the news, instead of rushing to Lazarus's house, we're told that when Jesus got the news about his friend Lazarus being seriously ill, he stayed for a couple more days where he was with his disciples before heading to Lazarus's home in Bethany. And on arrival in the village, which was very close to Lazarus's home, Jesus was met by Lazarus's sister Martha. And she said what I suppose most of us would say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Do you know, I've heard those words many, many times. I've taken hundreds of funerals. And when you go in to meet the family and whatever else, you hear people saying, "If so-and-so had a been, or if this had a happened or hadn't have happened, then this person wouldn't have died." And so Martha was no different. She says, "Lord Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But then she takes it a step further and she says, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Well, Jesus assured Martha that her brother would rise again from the dead. Now, she obviously thought that Jesus meant on the day of resurrection. And you know, whether you believe in it or not, you're in for a shock if you die not believing in the day of resurrection. Because one day you're going to be raised from the dead and you're going to say, "Oh, that boy was up there in that place, Shiloh was right." Or better still, the Bible was right. There is a day of resurrection, and that's what she thought Jesus was talking about, that on that great last day, her brother was going to be raised from the dead. And so she says to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And I emphasized recently, there is a last day. This world isn't going to go on forever. There is a last, even scientists agree, there is a last day. It's just impossible. If you look at even the food, we're not going to have enough food by a certain period of time. So it's going to come to an end. And I was saying that recently about the sun, could supernova and let off this incredible light and heat for whatever else and then die out. Now, whether that will happen or not, I don't know. But that's, again, what scientists have said. So there is a last day. And she says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha answered, Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. At this, Martha then left and went to get her sister Mary to come out to meet with the Lord Jesus. I took a funeral last week in Kilcooley of a friend of mine, and when I think about what this family have been through in the past couple of years alone, I buried a man on Monday. I buried his son 7 months before that. I buried his brother months before that. I buried his nephew before that, and I buried his other brother before that, and a family that has known grief and suffering. And at that funeral last week, I quoted these words of Jesus to the loved ones who had gathered there. In fact, I've quoted them many times at funerals because I believe that they bring hope in the midst of despair. You see, when you're gathering with the grieving, when you're listening to their cries and seeing their tears, they do not need to hear, there. It'll be all right in the morning. They don't need to hear that. They don't need to hear empty platitudes or dull adages. They need some sort of comfort and hope. And I'm not saying that Christians are the be-all and end-all when it comes to funerals and that we just happen to breeze into a grief-stricken house and suddenly they're all happy. It doesn't happen like that, but these words, for many people, bring comfort and hope. So let's pick up on our story so far. It's in John chapter 11, and we're reading from verse 32 through to 44. And I'll go through this quickly. John chapter 11, verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. Isn't it interesting that Mary is exactly like her sister Martha when she first comes to Jesus? If only you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. It's a natural thing. It is a natural thing. I wonder this evening, have you ever felt like that? Where is Jesus when you really need him? I mean, don't get me wrong, I can remember many times, and I wasn't even a Christian, sitting in the prison cells or sitting in the police station or on the court bus, saying, oh Lord Jesus, if you get me out of here, I swear I'll never get into trouble again. And strangely enough, he never turned up. So, you know, you sort of think to yourself, where is Jesus when you really need him? Now, set aside the flippancy for a moment and think. When you've got news that you've got cancer, when you've got news that a loved one is seriously ill, when you know that someone isn't going to make it through the night, or a loved one is in grave danger, and you're asking, where is Jesus when you really need him? If only Jesus was here, things would be very different. If only Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus, we're told, was troubled in his spirit when he witnessed their brokenheartedness. And of course, when he heard others saying, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept Lazarus from dying? In fact, it troubled him so much that the shortest verse in the Bible tells us, Jesus wept. Do you think for a moment that Jesus doesn't understand the brokenness of grief and mourning? Do you think that he is too remote to understand people's heartbreak? On reaching the tomb, Jesus had the stone that sealed the entrance removed. And even though Martha protested that by now there would be a stench, Jesus lovingly challenged her unbelief. And this is important tonight. That Jesus, in the midst of her grief and her heartache and her brokenness, and still protesting, Lord, don't take that stone away because it's so embarrassing. My brother's going to be stinking. He's been dead for 4 days, and you're out here in Israel, and you know they didn't have as we have the undertakers doing what they do. He would have been stinking. And Jesus lovingly challenged her unbelief and simply told her to believe. You know, Christians could put their hands up and say, I have faced unbelief many times. But you see, we face above all, we face the unbelief of non-Christians all the time. We get doors slammed in our faces. We get told to F off, I have no interest in your Jesus. We get told to go away, or we get all of the nice wee things. Yes, 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 tell me more, when you know they're not remotely interested and they're thinking, if this boy doesn't get away from my door, I'm going to burn the dinner. Whatever it might be, we hear it all the time. We get mocked, we get ridiculed, we get patronized by those whom we seek to talk to about Jesus. And yet all we aim to do is help them to understand that Jesus loves them and that he can give them forgiveness of sin and abundant everlasting life. But I'll be honest with you. I find when people are grieving that it's very difficult to challenge their unbelief. You don't want to intrude on a person's grief. You don't want to trample them into the ground when they are hurting. You're wanting to bring hope and comfort, but you have to be so careful. And I find that when people are grieving, it's so difficult to challenge their unbelief. You see, grief can be a cauldron of unbelief, bubbling over with denial and anger and if-onlys and depression. And it's no surprise then to learn that very often grief can even lead Christians into unbelief, because Christians are human beings. There's no difference to the world and us. There's no difference to the unbelief. My brothers and sisters are no different than me, and they think your man thinks he's a Christian. All of those things, they can say what they like. They're no different to us. They're no different to me. The only difference is we have received the forgiveness of our sins that the Lord has offered us through faith in Jesus. And so it's no surprise to learn that very often grief can even lead Christians into unbelief. If only Jesus had been here. Where is Jesus when we really need him? Anyway, the stone was rolled away from the entrance, and at this point, Jesus prays to his Father in heaven and asks that what is about to happen would glorify him by helping the onlookers to believe that he had sent Jesus. In other words, they had never probably seen anything like what was about to happen. They'd never seen it before. And Jesus was hoping that what would happen would help the people to understand that Jesus was the Messiah sent by God. Lazarus, come forth, Jesus shouted. And out from the tomb came his friend back from the dead. And then Lazarus, we're told, was freed from his grave clothes and let go. That's the story in a nutshell. It's there in John chapter 11 if you want to read it. But once again, just briefly, let's look for a moment at how Jesus made a difference. Now, apart from the blatantly obvious that a dead man was brought back to life, and of course the obvious that his sisters no doubt were overjoyed, what other impact did Jesus' intervention make? Well, let me point out a few that I've noticed. Firstly, it's really important for us to note that not even news about a seriously ill friend or his potential death was going to make Jesus act any sooner than when his Father guided him. Jesus didn't just hang out wherever he was with his disciples for a couple of extra days for the fun of it. He waited until he was led by his Father, because Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. And when God said, now go to Bethany, Jesus knew what he would do. And so it's important to note that not even news about a seriously ill friend or his potential death was going to make Jesus act sooner than when his Father guided him. Jesus knew Lazarus would die, but he also knew what he would do to glorify his Father in heaven. And we need to realize, and this is difficult, we need to realize sometimes Jesus will permit loved ones to die before he will act. Now, let me make that clear again. We need to grasp this, that sometimes Jesus will permit loved ones to die before he will act. Now, this is hard to understand. And we, like Mary and Martha, may say, but Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And we too may ask the question, where is Jesus when we really need him? Of course, some people will see answered prayers, and they'll see loved ones healed and their life extended. Some may, and I hope to God I do, some may even see people raised back from the dead. But nonetheless, this is the fact, death is a reality that we must all face. There is no escaping it. Jesus isn't going to raise to life all of our loved ones who die. Well, certainly not until the last day. Death is a reality that we must all face. But Jesus makes a difference by giving hope to the hopeless and balm to the brokenhearted. He assures us, in fact, he assures everyone, whoever believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. And it's by this reality of this blessed hope that we can challenge the unbelief of those who grieve. I have put many, many people into the ground. I have watched as the button was pushed and they've gone down into the crematorium, and I have quoted these words, reminding people, as far as the person in the coffin is concerned, There's no more opportunity for them. And you hope and pray that they already had availed of the offer of God's salvation through faith in Jesus. But the hope is this: to the brokenhearted, to the grieving, to those who think that their world is suddenly falling apart, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. By his intervention, Jesus shows to everyone that death is not the end. Don't think when you die, that's it, all over. Don't think when you die, well, I'd rather go to the place where they're all partying and whatever else, and I'll be with my mates. It ain't like that. Death is not the end. There is life after death. Jesus called Lazarus back from somewhere after 4 days. Jesus is Lord of life and over death. And he assures us there is a kingdom of God, heaven, to be gained, and a hell to be avoided. Those who believe in Jesus will rise again to everlasting life. Those who do not believe will rise only to be separated from God forever. And the Bible calls that hell. Thirdly, Jesus made a difference by helping us see that we need to challenge our unbelief and have faith in him in every circumstance. All of our denials, all of our anger, all of our if-onlys in life, all of our depressions that come because of events that we have no control over affecting our lives, all of these that boil in the cauldron of unbelief only serve to make our life full of bitterness and resentment, and they rob us of the joy of knowing the Lord. We've got to believe our beliefs, doubt our doubts, and have faith in Jesus. So let me say tonight, Christian, we're not exempt as Christians. We're not exempt from death and mourning, from heartbreak and grief. But we can trust in Jesus to come to help us in our time of need. He will meet with us at the right time and in the right place. You've got to challenge your unbelief and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight there's someone here through Facebook or the podcast listening, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me ask the question first. Where is your hope when you're surrounded by death and grieving? Now, you may think, well, it hasn't affected me yet, but it's going to, because none of us are exempt. Where is your hope when you're surrounded by death and grieving? Where or to whom do you turn when you're faced with one of life's crises? Well, let me tell you tonight, Jesus is the Lord of life and over death. And he can help you because he loves you. But you need to challenge your unbelief tonight and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. It tells us that you're a God who can keep your promises. And you promised that whosoever believes in you, even though they die, yet shall they live. That on the last day, when all shall be raised to life, there will be those who are raised to abundant, everlasting life in the kingdom of God. And there are those who are raised, Lord God, to be separated from you forever in hell. We pray, Lord, please, that people would understand that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died upon a cross to pay the price for their sin,
so that they could receive forgiveness and have everlasting life. I ask tonight, Lord, please, that when we face crises in life, whether it be death of a loved one, whether it be, Lord God, sickness or disease, whatever it might be, help us, Lord, to challenge our unbelief and to have faith in Jesus, who is Lord of life and over death, because he is the one we can trust completely. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Stand to sing our last song.